Take your Bible this morning, if you will, to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I confess to you, it was extremely difficult for me. This is the third message I prepared for this morning. And I was just trying to ascertain, Lord, what do you want me to preach? And I'd get one message and I'd think, no, this is not it. So I got the second one and no, this is not it. So I brought, this is the third one. And I hope this is it, okay? It is the one you're going to hear, all right? And I'm sure hopeful this is the one God wanted me to preach. It sometimes is difficult. Now, you may think, like a lot of people do, well, preacher, it's the only day of the week you work. Well, you can think that if you want to. That's fine. But that's all right. But, man, trying to come up, decide what to preach, and just getting that, what the Lord wants you to preach is a challenge. So, just going to read one verse this morning, and we'll fill in some of the other ones, but I want you to look with me in verse 40, 1 Samuel 17, verse 40. The Bible said, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now, probably everybody here is familiar with the account of David and Goliath. This is not anything you've never heard of. You may not have been able to find it in your Bible. I would have asked you where that was, and you might not know all the details. But for the most part, at least you've heard David kill Goliath, right? Now, if you read the New Bible versions, they don't even have that right. A lot of them have got somebody else killing Goliath. And you said, who? You don't need to know the falsehood that's there, all right? Just stick with your King James Bible. You can't go wrong, all right? But you probably even know that he used a sling and a stone to get the job done. And now I'm hoping that I'm not using these scriptures in a wrong way, but I really don't plan to preach to you on David and Goliath, okay? That's not the purpose. But I do want you to notice the Bible says in verse 40 that he picked up five rocks, five smooth stones to be exact, but he only used one, all right? Now, you ever think about why did he pick up so many stones? And I've heard people make conjectures. I've heard them say, well, he knew Goliath had some brothers. Maybe so. I don't know. I don't know for sure. You say, what do you think? Truthfully, I don't worry about it too much, but I am convinced this. David planned to do some killing that day. He planned to do some killing that day. He didn't go out there to talk to Goliath and find common ground to negotiate a peace treaty. He went out there on purpose planning to kill him, all right? Now, I realize that's kind of hard. It doesn't sound good in this day of weak Christianity and pacifist religion, but he went out there, and the truth of the matter is you and I are engaged in a battle. We are engaged in a battle every day of our lives. We're fighting the world, the flesh, and the devil. You've got at least three enemies that you have to deal with, all right? And they're there every day, and you're going to deal with them, all right? That battle is not going away. You say, well, I sure hope it'll get easier. Well, it won't, all right? That's what you're looking for. It's not going to get easier. It'll stay that way. And here at the beginning of this new year, there's some things. Now, not people. There's some things that God's people ought to kill, all right? No, not people. I'm not preaching you go out and kill somebody, all right? That's wrong. Don't do it. But there's some things we need to kill and be done with it, and it'll help you in this battle that we are in, all right? And we can't afford to keep messing around anymore. We need to kill these things. There's action. It's needed. It's needed today. And I want you to use all five stones, not just one, okay? I want you to use all five. And the truth of the matter is maybe some of you need more than five. I don't know. But I want to preach to you about killing some things, all right? And will you use all five stones? You say, what do you think we need to kill? Number one, I think you ought to kill a complaining spirit. A complaining spirit. I want you to know David didn't complain about being sent with food for his brothers in combat. David was out keeping the sheep. His brothers were fighting the enemy, fighting the Philistines. And his dad called him in and said, look, want you to take some food down there, your brothers, check on to see how things are going, come back and let me know. David didn't say, man, I'm busy, Dad. Could you get somebody else? There was no complaint. No complaint. He just went, all right? Hey, he didn't complain when he got there, and the first thing happened is his older brother, Eliab, immediately, you know, questions his motives for coming. David didn't complain. He just said, well, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? He didn't complain about it. Hey, he didn't complain about the circumstances and the conditions he found himself in. He didn't spend his time complaining. You know, he just picked up some rocks when he saw an opportunity, and he got with it. He got with it. Boy, I want to tell you, if there's one thing we're to do, we need to quit our complaining, all right? I would have said quit your belly aching, but it doesn't fit alliteration with quit your belly aching, all right? So, man, we need to kill that complaining spirit, all right? Complaining's become a pastime, I think, for a lot of people in our day. We complain about everything. We complain about everything. I mean, my wife went to Walmart this week, her and her sister. They got there, and the electricity had gone off, and you couldn't use a cash register because everything's computer-driven nowadays, and nobody's smart enough to add and subtract up what things cost, so... And there's not a price tag on anything. So, boy, shut the whole thing down. You said she came home griping. Well, not very much. All right. Not very much. But we learned we're complainers. We're good at it, right? We can complain. We complain about the price of gas when it goes up. All right. We complain when it comes down that it doesn't come down enough. All right. And we complain it doesn't come down as fast as it went up. I mean, we're just complainers. All right. We're good at complaining. We can constantly do it, and we complain. Hey, can I say this? You'll never accomplish anything because you're too busy complaining about conditions, right? And since conditions aren't perfect, I can't do the job, but I sure can gripe about it. Hey, well, it won't settle anything. It won't solve anything to go around complaining, all right? Some people complain about others not doing anything, and they do nothing. You know, I say in my notes, some complain and then refrain, you know. They're guilty. We're complainers. We're complainers. Boy, could I say this to you? Just take a stone and nail that complaining spirit, would you? Just start out this year and say, I'm not going to spend this year complaining. I'm just not going to do it. Never helped you and never will if you complain. It's not going to make a difference, all right? Not going to make a difference. We complain, we get to church, well, it's too cold in the building. No, it's too hot in the building. Too hot in the building. I'll be honest with you. You know, we've got this many people here, this many people, everybody will never be satisfied with the temperature. There's always going to be some. And others. Just, it doesn't make any difference. You can't keep everybody satisfied. Hey, preacher, could you turn the speaker up a little bit? Couldn't hear it. Hey, could you turn it down a little bit? It's too loud. Some people said, could you turn it off? I don't want to hear it at all. All right, you know. But, we just complain, you know, complain. Won't get you anywhere. Could you just kill that complaining spirit? Kill that complaining spirit. Second stone I want you to pick up, and I want you to use it on that contemporary spirit. You said, what? World are you talking about? Hey, it's that spirit that believes and pushes you to keep up with the day in which you live. Won't it just be contemporary? I hate everything's contemporary. I hate contemporary music in church. Hate it. Contemporary songs. I don't like them. I don't want to sing the same words over 47 times, all right? Just don't want to do that. You say, one reason is because I never know when we get through. Because you got to sing them 47 times, you go. And you get here, and then you go. You know, and then you go, all right, now that's halfway there. Now, hey, listen, there's no sound to them. There's no substance to it. Boy, give me that old hymnal. Give me those old hymns that talk about there's power in the blood, all right? There is power in the blood. Wanting to do that. We're not going to have a contemporary service. We're not going to have contemporary music. Look, the child of God doesn't need to be up with the times in which he lives. You pick, man, when it comes to speech, to dress, decorum, actions, anything else. Well, the world is sloppy, it's vulgar, it's immodest, it's unholy. And why in God's name do we want to think we keep up with them? I'll tell you this, plain and simple, you can't stay up with it, because for a Christian who's right with God, you don't get up there, you have to come down to that level. You have to come down to that level. Man, I think we ought to kill that very idea. Just kill that contemporary spirit. Man, I don't want to be up with them. They're so confused, they're so messed up, they're so, just destroying themselves. And so many Christian people think, oh, what are they doing now? I want to be like them. Why? Man alive. Look, the only thing the Christian needs to stay up with is this right here. Now, this is what we need to stay up with. All right? Nothing contemporary about it. But then again, it's the most up-to-date book you'll ever read. The most up-to-date book you'll ever read. Hey, you're saying, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, boy, I want you to pick up that second stone and kill that contemporary spirit. Just slay it. Nail it right between the eyes and get rid of it and say, we're not going that way. Have no desire to be like the world. How would you like it if I came up here next Sunday morning in a pair of blue jeans with a shirt tail hanging out and I say, no tie on, and say, let's just rap a little bit today. Yeah, I mean, say, come on, you know, and try to give it to you. We're going to use some perverted version, because that crowd never sticks with the King James Bible, all right? They never do that. And just don't do it. I mean, wouldn't that float your boat? Wouldn't you go home and say, boy, we got a blessing today? No, you'd go home saying, the preacher's lost his mind. And that would have been true, all right? That would have been true. Let's kill that contemporary. Hey, listen, I still think it's right to dress up. I still think it's right to dress up and come to church. Man alive, where'd we get the idea that, no, we just look sloppy, just come any old way? Where in the world did that idea come up? Hey, where'd you get the idea God didn't care how you look? Where'd you get the idea God doesn't care where you look? Now, if you've got a perverted and you got a little bit confused understanding of the scriptures, oh, but the Bible said God looks on the heart. He sure does. But he also tells us how the outside's supposed to look, okay? He covers that. So don't get the idea it doesn't make any difference. Don't get the idea that that's okay. Hey, what's going downhill is people. People. You see people today at Walmart or any other store. I just use Walmart because everybody knows where Walmart is, all right? People show up there in the worst state of dress or undress you could ever dream of. I mean, you know, is it really that hard to put on your shoes and not wear your house shoes? Come on now. Now, wait a minute. Whoa. I'm not talking about some aged, infirm person. I'm talking about people in their 20s. Come to store in their stinking pajamas and a pair of house shoes on. You know, we used to respect people more than that. We respected other people enough that we didn't expose them to that kind of garbage. Oh, listen, kill that contemporary spirit, all right? I'm going to move on to number three. Some of you kind of getting squirming, all right? Hey, there's another spirit that you need to have that rock for. We've used two of them. Take your Bible and go to Hebrews chapter 2, would you? Hebrews chapter 2. Won't you just look here at one verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Notice, we should give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Hey, if there's one thing I think you ought to take a stone and kill, it's a complacent spirit. A complacent spirit. Could I tell you that David fought against the complacent spirit that day in the Valley of Elah? You see, everybody else, they had been fighting for a good while. This wasn't the first day of battle. It wasn't the first day of battle. I mean, it'd been going on for a while. It'd been going on long enough that David's dad, Jesse, sent David down to check on his brothers. The reporters hadn't got back with the newspaper lately, and so he sent David down there, and he said, David, you take his food down there and help him out, check out, see how things are going, let me know. But hey, this has been going on for a while, and what had been going on for a while is Goliath had been coming out, and him saying, hey, y'all choose a man to fight me, and we'll duke this thing out, and if I win, y'all serve us, and if he wins, we'll serve y'all, and that's a very, very simple thing. He had been coming out there. Hey, the complacent spirit was, everybody said, we'll stay on our side of the valley and you stay on your side. We don't want to fight Goliath. We don't fight. Hey, by the way, wait a minute. Before you get excited, all the rest of those people on the Philistine side is, let Goliath do it. Let Goliath do it. He's a big old boy. We like the way this thing sounds. Let him handle it. Let him handle it. All the Philistines were very complacent about the whole deal. They said, we don't want to get involved. We might get nicked and need a Band-Aid. So we won't let him handle this thing. We're going to stay out of it, all right? They had a complacent spirit. Can I tell you this? I believe there's way too many Christians in our day. We're content because, hey, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm all right. We're kind of like Hezekiah was in the Old Testament. Isaiah came to him and said, man, what have you done? And he said, well, it's a good thing if peace is in my day. Peace is in my day. That complacent spirit, that's okay. That's okay. You know, sometimes we folks that are older get the idea, well, I'm tired of this stuff. Let's just kind of let things ride along, okay. Whoa, wait a minute. Things will go downhill if you do that. Things always go downhill if you think we'll just let it ride. No, we can't just let it ride. We can't get complacent where we think it's going to be all right. We'll just keep things the way they are now. No, you and I can't get complacent and think it'll be all right. Why? Well, we got kids. Hey, I got grandkids. A lot of you got grandchildren. I'm a little bit concerned about them. I want them to be able to have a good, strong, Bible-believing church to go to when they grow up. I want them to be able to get into a place where they're going to hear the Bible preach. They're going to hear this old King James Bible, and some preacher's going to stand there and let them have it from the Word of God. Let them have the truth, and there's going to be somebody there that's going to say, amen, preach it, brother. Hey, we don't need to get complacent. We don't need to get complacent and say, hey, it'll be all right. No, we've got to stand and fight. We've got to stand and fight. David came down there, and he looked at the situation over, and he said, I can take care of this guy. I can get that guy. I can take him. He was a boy. David was a kid, but he said, I can do it. Hey, we can't afford to get complacent in this day when everything the Bible teaches is under attack. We cannot be complacent. Everything the Bible teaches is under attack today. And everything God says to us. Hey, it used to be we just talked about ACLU. Man, it's not just the ACLU, it's the counts. It's Congress. It's Congress. It's the counterculture of this day. It's not just Antifa. It's the Congress of our United States. Passing laws that attack what this book says. And saying that what you believe is illegal. Well, we're just going to have to ease off. No, we're not. We've got to stand and fight. We can't get complacent. We can't just say, well, if that's the law. Well, if Daniel had said that, we'd have never heard of him. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had have felt that way, we'd have never heard of them. But we did because they stood up and said, hey, we're not complacent about this. We're not going to even one time bow down and worship that false god. We won't do it. Hey, I'm just telling you, you need to take that stone and kill that complacent spirit. That spirit that says, oh, we're all right, let's just take it easy. No, we can't rest on our laurels. Cannot do that. Hey, that's three of those stones. The complaining spirit, contemporary spirit, a complacent spirit. You say, what's the next one, preacher? The compromising spirit. Hey, I want to tell you, there wasn't a compromising bone in David's body. He didn't come down there and said, well, wait a minute, guys, y'all let me go talk to him. We'll work something out. We'll compromise. We'll find a place where we can say, hey, we'll just draw the line here, guys. You stay on your side, we'll stay on our side. Well, oh, that's too far? All right, we'll draw the line here then. No, there wasn't a compromising bone in his body. He didn't go out there to chit-chat with him and say, well, let's come to an agreement. He went out there to kill him, all right? Why? Because there was no compromising ground, all right? He didn't have that compromising spirit. His spirit was this. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? I got news for you. There was nobody on the Philistine side or the Israel side that said, I wonder what he's talking about. No. Hey, what's the saying? He had cast down the gauntlet, buddy. He had laid it down. He said, who is that dude? Who does he think he is? Boy, he's not. Hey, he's defying the armies of the living God. And he can't do that. David said, we're not going to compromise. Hey, can I say this to you? That's the same uncompromising spirit that we ought to have. The one that doesn't seek to find common ground with the world. Not at all. We're not going to do it. God help us to take our stand for right and righteousness and say, this is it. We stand on this book right here. Well, preacher, some of that stuff is not popular today. I got news for you. It hasn't ever been popular. It's never been popular. To believe what we believe today as independent fundamental Baptists has never been popular. Never. And it'll never be popular. All right? Hey, well, preacher, if we do that, you know we're going to be standing by ourselves. Well, can I say this to you? David didn't have a flock of people standing there saying, get him, boy! No, his brothers are back there going, he's going to get killed. He's going to get killed. I know it's coming. How are we going to explain this to Daddy? Nobody with him. Nobody with him. Saul is the man that should have fought him. Saul is a man that should have been out there. Saul was a man head and shoulders taller than all the other people in that land. He was the only one even relatively close to the size of Goliath. And Saul says, well, I tell you what, David, you can use my armor. You can wear it. Go ahead. David said, can't wear that, man. It's clunky. It doesn't fit. I'm out. Can't do it. Hey, but there wasn't any compromise with him. If it means stand alone, you just stand alone. Just stand alone, all right? We've got to kill that compromising spirit that would cause us to lower our standards. We've got to kill that would cause us to weaken our doctrine, that would cause us to slip away from this blessed old book right here. We've got to kill that spirit. We just go anywhere you want to, any application. I could preach this point, the whole message today. I could preach right here about having an uncompromising spirit and killing the compromising spirit. Hey, it's that compromising spirit that's ruined churches all across this country. It's that compromising spirit that's causing God's people to live like the world. To live like the world. Hey, God never intended for me and you to fit in. We're not to fit in. I quit fitting in a long time ago. A long time ago, I've been invited to parties where maybe they were celebrating the birthday of somebody that may be connected with the church, and I've gone there, and I've found myself very, very uncomfortable, and I left as quick as I could get out of there. You said, why? A lot of it was because of the way people were dressed. Man alive, we need to fit in with the world. Since when? Listen. Even if you like the way it's going, you have got to admit, if you're honest, that there's more sensuality and sexuality in the way people dress and conduct themselves today than there ever has been in your lifetime. Ever has been. I mean, it's unbelievable. And there, oftentimes I'll find myself in a position that I almost feel like walking through a place like this. Because I'm not interested in looking at the nudity I'm looking at. Hey, you hear me. We've got to quit compromising. You've got to quit compromising with this world. When you compromise, you get yourself a little closer to the edge, all right? That's all you do. We get away from God's standard. God has a standard. It's right. It's always right. It'll always be right. Times are changing, preacher. God's standard doesn't change. God's standard doesn't change. Hey, the words that come out of our mouth. Words that come out of our mouth. There was a day where, man, you wouldn't hear the stuff coming out of people's mouths that comes out today. Hey, Red Fox used to be considered vile. Vile. But they put him on TV and he became popular. Now he toned it down on that TV show, but it attracted people to his nightclub show, and that was as vile as you could get in that day. Now multitudes of people that way. I have Sirius satellite radio on my vehicle. That's because they offered it to me for 3 months free. I like freebies. And so I took it for 3 months. Actually, I thought it was going to end in December, and they were going to start charging me, and I was going to tell them no thanks. But hadn't happened yet. But there's about three or four comedy channels on that satellite radio. Only one of them is halfway fit to listen to. Only one of them's halfway fit to listen to. The other, the vileness that's there. So, and you said, preacher, have you listened to them? Yeah, I listened to one of them one time. I wanted to see a little bit. I didn't want to stand up here and give you theory. I listened and asked God to forgive me for listening, but I just listened long enough to realize, you know what? That if the joke was funny, you wouldn't have to use that kind of language. Wouldn't have to do it. But the sad part is that's drifted into the conversation of God's people. God's people. We're using that kind of language. Hey, you hear me? You hear me? There was a day when people stood up and realized, you know what? Drinking is opposed by the Word of God. God says don't even look at it when it moves itself aright. And that is, don't even look at it if it's been fermented. But now we're saying, oh, preacher, it's okay to a little social drink every now and then. It's okay to have a little fine wine over a fancy meal. Hey, listen, we need to quit compromising. We need to kill that spirit of compromise. Kill it. Kill it. You know, there's one thing. I'm sure if I ever started drinking, I would become a drunk. I'm sure I would. You say, well, why? Because I'm the way I am. If something tastes good, I'm not content to just wet the tip of my tongue with it. You know, I confess, I like a good root beer float every now and then, all right? And but I've never had one where I just sip it. You know, sip it and just lay it down there. It goes down, all right? I wanted to drink it before the ice cream melted, all right, you know? Then eat the ice cream, you know? And I know, boy, if I started drinking, it would be Katie bar the door, all right? I'd be a drunk. My dad always used to say, people said, well, preacher, I drink, but I'm not drunk. He said, if it takes 10 drinks to make you drunk, if you drink one, you're one-tenth drunk. I'll never forget my dad preaching that. Never forget it. Hey, you know what? That was true then. It's still true. It's still true. We need to quit compromising. We need to quit compromising. We need to kill that compromising spirit. It needs to be killed. Not fooled around with, not figuring we can get away with it. No, we need to kill it. One more. That's four of those stones. There's one more. We need to kill the contentious spirit. You said what? The contentious spirit. Take your Bible to Proverbs chapter 6, would you? Proverbs chapter 6. I want you to look at a couple of verses here with me in Proverbs chapter 6. Notice what the Bible says here. Proverbs 6, verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. Now, I'm not going to read all of them, but I want you to drop down to verse 19. Because the Bible said, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Now, the Bible said the Lord hates the one who sows discord. Hey, it's a contentious spirit that causes people to do that. It is a contentious spirit that does it. It's a contentious spirit that just wants to find fault and stir up something simply because maybe it didn't go your way. And we've got that contentious spirit. A contentious individual is one who's always exhibits a tendency to quarrel and want to dispute with other people. Contentious. Just hard to get along with. Now, Jude 3 tells us to contend for the faith. It doesn't mean be contentious with the faithful. All right? We're to contend for the faith, but we don't have to be contentious. I'll just be honest with you. I'm with you as long as you're standing for the faith once delivered to the saints. I'm with you, man. I'm in favor of it. I don't want, neither do I need to be contentious with others of like faith. I do not want to be contentious with you. We may disagree on some things. I mentioned to the Sunday school class this morning, yesterday, the old year 2022 ended pretty well. I said one way it ended well is TCU beat Michigan. All right? Now, some of you are happy about that, but Brother Mahaney, who we support every month from our church, that poor deluded man was rooting for Michigan. He's been a Michigan fan for years and years and years. I went down to see him week before last, got out of the car. First thing I said, walking to him, I said, go TCU. All right. He said, why? Because I knew he'd take it the way I meant it. He'd take it the way I meant it. Hey, but I want to tell you, we don't have to agree on everything. We don't have to agree on it. You don't have to agree with the kind of ice cream I like. If you don't like chocolate, God bless your heart. It's okay with me. I love it. And the less you eat of it, the more there is for me, all right? That's my opinion of it, all right? I like chocolate everything, all right? Unless they put mint in it, then you can have it, all right? Why ruin good chocolate with mint? I never have understood. Now, you said, preacher, I like mint chocolate. It's good. I've got some you can have. But I don't need to be contentious about it. I don't need to do that. I don't have to be contentious about that. Hey, I'm not battling with you or anybody else for power, prestige, or position. I'm not going to be contentious. The contentious brother can always find an opposing point of view just so he can be contentious. Just so he can be contentious. We sometimes, maybe you've heard somebody say, well, just for the sake of argument. Can I say this? We ought not to do that in the work of God or in service for God. It ought not to be just for the sake of argument. It ought be, hey, how about just for the sake of getting along? Just for the sake of doing right. Well, we don't have to be contentious. Now, you know, We can be strongly opinionated about stuff, but we don't have to be contentious. We do not have to be that way. We need to kill that kind of contentious spirit that's always, maybe always finding fault, you know? Always finding fault. Preacher has a good sermon, but do you realize how many grammatical mistakes you made? No, but I'm glad you were listening for some reason, all right? I'm glad you're keeping record, you know? But people just define fault. Contentious people. You know them. You know them. I just want to be sure you're not one. I know some contentious people. I just don't want you to be one of them. Hey, I don't want me to be one of them. Just always. Just to find fault. Man, why in the world we need that? We don't need that kind of thing. God help us. Hey, David picked up 5 smooth stones. He only used one. How many do you need to use today? How many do you need to use? Need to kill that complaining spirit? Need to kill that contemporary spirit? That compromising spirit? That complacent spirit? That contentious spirit? Hey, maybe you got some more and you need to get a whole pocket full, all right? Maybe you need to carry a garbage sack out there, all right? Because you got a lot that needs to be killed. Hey, well, wouldn't this be a good way to start the year? Wouldn't that be a good way to start the year if you to say, we're going to kill that stuff in my life? I'm not going to let it ruin my life this year. I'm not going to let it destroy my Christianity. I'm not going to let it keep me from having the joy of the Lord. Just not going to do it. Going to kill it. Not going to let it ruin me as a Christian. How about you? How about you? You need to pick up some rocks today. Need to use them. If you do, now's a good time to start, okay? Now's a good time to start. Now, you know good and well that I don't mean you got to pick up a rock or get somebody to throw one at you, okay? We're talking about some decisions need to be made, and the best place to make them is right here at the altar. Walk this aisle and say, Lord, would you help me to get rid of that spirit? Would you just help me today to come and leave that spirit here and walk out those doors different than the way I came in? Do I need to do that? Do you need to do that today? Hey, David, he had 5 stones. He only used 1 of them. How many do you need to use today? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today because we need your help. It's invitation time. Lord, we're standing here to start a new year, but we bring some old sin with us. We need to get rid of it. And Lord, maybe there's things that have not been mentioned today, but Lord, you brought it to mind in the hearts of your people. Lord, they need to come. They need to walk the aisle. They need to get right with you. There's some things they need to bring here and leave them here today. I pray, Lord, you'd give them the courage to do what they should. Lord, help them to be honest with themselves and honest with you this morning. Lord, help us use the invitation for your honor and your glory to make a difference in the lives of God's people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We sing this morning, page 370, I Need Thee Every Hour. Like that's you, would you come this morning? Would you come? Altars are open. You come do business.